Down south, they say it's the economy, stupid. Up here, we say it's the economy, eh? And this is Political Economy Radio, a progressive take on economic issues in Canada and beyond. My name is Michał Rozworski, and welcome to the show. While the Bell Centre was not the happiest place in Montreal last night, the Palais des Congrès erupted with cheers many times earlier in the day as the Canadian Labour Congress wrapped up its convention. Although the convention was largely ignored by the mainstream media, following it on social media, you could truly feel a sense of heightened energy and debate brought on by both challengers for leadership positions and grassroots organizers. It was an eventful convention that ended with a change of leadership, and today I hope to get the rundown on its significance. My first guest is Larry Savage, who is the director of the Center for Labor Studies at Brock University. I spoke with him about placing this convention within broader labor movement trends. Let's start with the biggest news coming out of the CLC convention that just wrapped up today, and that's the election of Hassan Youssef over the incumbent Ken Giorgetti. I saw that you wrote on Twitter that you said this doesn't represent an ideological shift within the CLC, but a power shift. I'm thinking if you could expand a bit on this.
Yeah, I think that from the very start of this campaign, which started 6 weeks ago, with neither of those two front-running candidates, but with a third candidate, Hassan Husseini, who was running a very critical anti-establishment left-wing campaign against the incumbent Ken Giorgetti. And that created a dynamic in which it brought people out of the woodwork because they saw that there was a movement for people to vote against the incumbent Giorgetti. And Hassan Youssef, who had served under Giorgetti as Secretary Treasurer, then decided to move out of that position and directly challenge the president using the opening that Hassan Husseini had created with his campaign. So the content of Youssef's campaign can't really be differentiated from Giorgetti's campaign based on a left-right spectrum. It was really about internal workings of the Congress and some commitments to doing the internal work of the Congress differently in terms of equity-seeking groups in particular. But it didn't really represent, a left-wing change for the CLC.
So is it also then about a change in strategy as opposed to ideology that you see potentially coming out of this as well? Is that part of the change that you're talking about as well? Or is that also something that will be remaining similar, you think?
Well, I think that overall, the strategy and the focus of the Canadian Labour Congress will remain intact. I mean, Youssef did make some comments during the campaign about how we needed to put more boots on the ground and that there should be more resources for labor councils so that the Congress could do its work better in communities. But I think we have to be realistic about what the Canadian Labour Congress president can commit to and what he can actually do in practice. And that's because as an organization, the Canadian Labour Congress is very much controlled by its affiliates, and in particular, its biggest affiliates. So the president of the Congress is really in a straitjacket if they are on one strategic path and the affiliates simply don't agree to go along that path. At the end of the day, the president has to come in line with what those major affiliates want.
Sure. Maybe you could actually expand on that, because I know you've written a lot about the different kinds of unionism, differences between professional and more traditional working class unions, public and private sector unions, and all these sort of, differences within and divisions within the labor movement in Canada. And how do these come out in the politics of the CLC more generally, and how do they impact the possibilities for what it can do?
Well, I think one of the really interesting dynamics at the convention is that the two largest unions in Canada, which would be the Canadian Union of Public Employees and NUPGE, which is generally speaking, the umbrella group for all of the provincial government employee unions, like the BCGEU in British Columbia or OPSU in Ontario. Those are by far the two largest unions in Canada. But at the CLC convention, the Unifor delegation and the Steelworkers delegation were much bigger than the delegations for those two unions. And so the floor of the CLC convention did not really accurately reflect the makeup of the Canadian labor movement. And that's important because Yusuf comes out of Unifor or its predecessor, the CAW, and Ken Giorgetti came out of the Steelworkers Union. So when it comes to these big affiliates, though, they do have some power, and you'll see at a CLC convention that normally a president will be able to whip their delegates in line to support one candidate en masse. But unions like NUPGE and CUPE are so decentralized in their organization that for the president to try to deliver all of those delegates, it's like herding cats. Whereas in more structured, more top-down unions like Unifor or like the UFCW, for example, you see a much stronger unity amongst those delegates who are able to deliver the votes to one specific candidate. And so those dynamics really matter. It's not necessarily a public sector versus private sector dynamic. It's not about blue-collar workers versus white-collar workers. You'll see these types of union cultures across the spectrum.
Right, that's actually a very interesting point. Maybe I could ask you one more question, and also a bit more on context. Not so much about, you know, say the internal structures of unions, but how you see this CLC convention going forward, sort of how it fits into. Either fits into or breaks with sort of broader trends in Canada's labor movement, and how these have been sort of coming out, and maybe particularly speaking to, you know, we heard the president elect speaking about the Ontario election and the federal election next year. So gearing up for these big political battles, how is this all sort of cashing into that, into what's going to be happening going forward?
I think Yusuf's victory in the CLC convention has given some people in the labor movement hope that the Canadian Labor Congress will play more of a leadership role in fightbacks against the federal Tories and counterpart conservative parties in different provinces. In particular, you could tell at the convention that delegates thought that the Congress had not done enough, for example, to fight to save Canada Post, that the Congress had not done enough to try to stand up to the Right to Work campaign that the HUDAC Tories have been launching in Ontario. There was a sense that the Fairness Works TV ads, which have been playing for the past year, aren't quite enough, that the labor movement has to mobilize at the grassroots level, that they can't just win things through slick TV ads, that they also need a strong grassroots mobilization component. And I think the election of Yusuf will give people some renewed hope that there'll be more of a balance in the CLC's approach to these campaigns.
All right. Thanks for that, Larry Savage. It was great to speak to you and get your perspective on this important convention.
Thank you.
That was my interview with Larry Savage, director of the Center for Labor Studies at Brock University. I also spoke with Carly Saunier, a Unifor member who was elected to the Executive Council of the Canadian Labour Congress as VP for Young Workers. Here's our chat.
First of all, congratulations on your election.
Thank you very much.
And speaking of that, maybe you could say a bit about how you think young worker issues can be incorporated into the broader labour agenda within the CLC.
I think it's really important to, in the future, have a young workers conference, not only for labor, but for student unions, young workers working at unorganized places, we're all facing the same issues. And I have my own unions conference, like for Unifor, but why not include everybody? Because we're all facing the same problems. You know, we all have the same frame of mind. We're all young workers. So I think that's one of the most important things that I want to work on as the VP for the next couple of years.
Yeah, and I mean, I think as one of these issues that faces young workers, there was a resolution against two-tier contracts. I know that was presented to the floor of the convention. And maybe you could just briefly explain what two-tier contracts are, why they harm young workers sort of in particular, and some of the discussion that emerged around this resolution and where you think this is going.
Two-tier contracts, that would mean you would be hired at a lower wage, so you could be working beside someone making up to $15 an hour more than you. Mostly it faces young workers, new workers as well, but mostly young workers. And it's hard on them because you're leaving school with the average amount of debt students leave school with is $35,000. And when you're making less than $15 than what your coworkers are making, how do you get out of poverty? You're constantly, you know, it's a race to the bottom. You're not making any money. You can't get anywhere. And it's keeping young workers in poverty. It was put on the floor and all the young workers, we crowded the mics. It was pretty impressive. And we, you know, a few of them talked about it. They actually amended the young worker resolution to add that in there, saying that the CLC will and the affiliates will fight against two-tiered contracts for wages. So it's really important for young workers because we deserve to be making the exact same amount as someone we're working beside doing the exact same work.
Yeah, and I think I heard about that, and I think there was also another moment where we really saw a lot of sort of input and a lot of energy from young workers, and that was a special session on young worker organizing. What do you think, maybe you could describe it about what went on there and what some of the messages for the broader labor movement that came out of that session, especially from the young workers themselves?
Organizing young workers, it's important for young workers to get involved in organizing. I know I'm from Niagara Falls and we had an organizing drive at the casino. And I know it was much easier for me to approach a young worker and talk to them about a union instead of someone older than me talking to a young worker, because, you know, we're all human, but we face different, you know, we have different debts, we have different issues. I mean, when you're a student, you have to work part-time as well, and, you know, you're constantly, you know, you have no time for anything else, and it's really hard. So I think what came out of that session was just, you know, the need. This committee has a lot of work to do in the next couple of years, and that is one of the things that we need to focus on is organizing young workers. I know we had two young workers from Halifax, the Baristas Rise Up, and they talked about organizing their own workplaces, two little coffee shops in Halifax, and they were successful. And I mean, that's, you know, grassroots right there, you know, learning and being able to talk to your coworkers and, you know, explaining to them what unions are and how they would benefit young workers, because they do, you know, they benefit young workers. So I think that was a really, really important session, and I think we got a lot from it. So really excited.
Is that one of the bigger issues that you think young workers face, sort of just because unionization is at such historic lows, and especially, you know, in the private sector and especially among younger workers? Is it just also just an issue of getting the information out there and sort of reteaching people about what it means to be part of a labor movement and what unions are and these kinds of
things? Oh, absolutely. A lot of media isn't labor friendly. And when you are watching TV, when you're on the internet, you all see the bad parts of a union, you know, like I don't even know what they could say. They say anything, but I know we should be going into high schools and teaching students about unions and how they benefit everybody. And not only high schools, but elementary schools, you know, grade 7, grade 8, it's important to let these these young adults who are going to be in the workforce in a couple of years, let them know how important it is to be safe at work, to have a pension, to have a good wage. You know, with I was formerly with CAW, I'm with Unifor now, but we have a school up in Port Elgin, and I know they do a family program. I was a facilitator a couple times with the young. The young teens, so from 12 to 14, and we teach them all week about how, you know, what their parents go through, because you have to be a uniform member to attend. So we tell them what their parents do at work and how the union has given us weekends and health care and, you know, all the good things, and they get it. And now those 12-year-olds and 13-year-olds are going back to their school talking about how great the union is. I mean, that's a start.
Congratulations to you once again. And thanks for your time this morning.
Oh, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
That was Carly Saunier, newly elected VP for Young Workers at the CLC. My final guest today is David Bush, who is an editor at rankandfile.ca and covered the convention for that site. We talked about the meaning of the convention, in particular from the viewpoint of rank and file organizing. So Dave, you were at the convention all 4 days. It sounds like it was fairly exhausting, you know, providing independent and I have to say often quite funny play-by-play on social media as well. What for you were some of the most interesting moments at this convention? How would you sum it up?
Well, I mean, it was interesting because I think that there was some space for some critical dissent from the floor. There was a couple of measures from the floor that won. We got a debate in. It wasn't scheduled, so an amendment from the floor moved for debate. It was passed overwhelmingly. There was a fight at the Canada Council that was not on the floor. That's the head of the national unions and the heads of the Fed and the officers, and they fought for and won secret ballot votes, which was sort of a bigger deal. I'm not saying that it's a principle, but a bigger deal for the election. There's been a lot that's happening here over the last 4 days. Some of it was, you know, sort of grandstanding and posturing, but there was some very interesting moments around both the election, but also some of the fights over the resolutions that were put forward. One of the things that I thought was really great was also the panel on young workers and organizing. The baristas in Halifax came and they gave a presentation about how they organized, the lessons that they learned. And I thought that was a breath of fresh air.
And we saw all these separate things, and I guess it all sort of culminated this morning. You know, there's a large focus on the leadership campaign, and of course this sort of came down to a battle between Hassan Youssef and longtime President Georgetti, especially after Hassan Husseini threw his support behind Youssef at the All Candidates debate that you mentioned, you know, was pushed through. I'd like to ask you maybe a bit more about how you were involved in Husseini's campaign in some ways, or at least supported it. How do you see this campaign sort of for reform within the labor movement going forward now that Hassan Youssef has been elected president? What do you think is going to happen with this campaign that Husseini ran?
Well, I mean, nothing is a given at this point. I think that there's a chance for the people who supported Husseini to start to come together and work together in a network across the country to fight and push our affiliates over the next year or so to take more progressive stances, to devote more resources to organizing, and so on. And we, in the labor left, or the progressive elements of labor, need to actually start coordinating some of our fights, especially at the affiliate level. And Husseini's candidacy allowed us to sort of come together and think about what we need to start doing. One of the things that was talked about in the caucus is that we're going to organize another sort of bigger meeting around the People's Social Forum. I think that was one thing. But there's definitely a sense that we want to keep this momentum going forward.
And what do you think is the role of the CLC in supporting the kind of rank and file, you know, bottom-up organizing that rankandfile.ca, as the name itself implies, stands for, and that you know, that I think you see as being so crucial to reviving the labor movement in Canada?
Well, frankly, at this point, I mean, if we're really honest with ourselves, that the CLC is not going to do that at this point, no matter who's in charge. So youth is in charge. I don't think that's a step forward for the labor movement so much as it's not a step back, which if Giorgetti got reelected, that would have been the case. But so I think that the CLC should be doing more on things like Canada Post. It has been totally missing in action, as Sid Ryan, the head of the OFL, said from the floor. Where has the CLC been on the fight for to beat back the attacks at Canada Post? However, I don't think that we can expect the CLC to somehow magically transform itself and from the top down and to support grassroots mobilization. It's going to require us at the grassroots to fight those battles, especially at our locals. Starts at the local level, works up to the affiliate level, and then goes to the CLC. We can't think change at the CLC means change in our workplace.
And what do you think are some of those key battles that are coming up, within the next sort of next while, and which ones do you think will be important for workers in particular, both either politically or in the industrial space?
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to say exactly totally nationally because the conditions of struggle are very different across the country or facing different types of challenges. On a national level, the Canada Post one is particularly important, I think, precisely because it's a battle against one of the more progressive unions, progressive national unions that's taking place across the country, something we can unite behind. Another thing is are we going to, is the CLC or are our unions going to actually start to wage an effective fight over the pension battle? Are we going to be able to expand CPP and make that an election issue or totally give up on it? Same with EI reform and so on. These are open questions. I think the other thing is that we just need to be fighting at our local and affiliate levels and at the Fed level in our different provinces to start devoting money to doing effective campaigns. Right now, the CLC is going with the Fairness Works campaign, and it's an advertising air war that is destined to lose. And it's problematic. So we need to figure out ways to think about how we can devote our resources to more effective mobilization that's going to change things.
Thanks so much for that, Dave.
Yeah.
That conversation with David Bush of rankandfile.ca wraps up today's segment. Join me in 2 weeks for a feature interview with political economist David McNally. Until then.